Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. While you're turning, if you can spare a hand, may I see the hands of all of those who are alive? You're all alive. Okay, if you could possibly give away life to people who needed it, would you do it? Yes or no? You would, wouldn't you? And if we had that ability, there wouldn't be any dead person who was dead for long, would they? You know where I'm going with this? Probably. Everybody here is physically alive, but there is a possibility that there could be somebody here who is dead in the spiritual realm. Dead in the spiritual realm. What does that mean? Well, God says that those who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, well, if you don't know Christ, you don't know Him, and to not know Him is death, is spiritual death. Ephesians 2, 1 and 5 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved." And then in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses," having forgiven you all trespasses. Most of us, and I think probably perhaps all of us here, are spiritually alive. We've accepted Christ as our personal Savior. Jesus said, "The thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come you that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And we have that life. We can experience an abundant life. What all does that mean? That's a sermon all in itself, the abundant life. We know God personally. We enjoy a personal, intimate relationship with Him. We can refer to Him as our Father, our Abba, an intimate word, our Daddy, our spiritual Father. In addition to our spiritual life, which we enjoy, we also are privileged to share with others the way, the truth, and the life, to tell other people about the Lord Jesus. And Jesus taught this spiritual truth about sharing the gospel, we'll say, sharing the gospel with others in Matthew chapter 13. And it's the parable, as you probably already see, of the sower and the soils. And it reads like this in verse 1. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath an ear? Let him hear." Then he goes into a little discourse with his disciples there about why he taught in parables. And then he interprets this parable to his disciples beginning in verse 19. Verse 18. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30. So, an explanation of terms. The sower. It could be the Lord Jesus as he went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptist was preaching, and still now even more developed, the gospel is ours, the gospel not of the kingdom, but the gospel of Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Anybody who shares that news is the sower in this parable. Behold, the sower went forth, verse 3. Verse 19, the seed is spoken of. The seed is the word of the kingdom. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, it is the instruction from God about how to enter into the kingdom. For us now in this dispensation, it's the gospel. The soil is the heart of man. The latter part of verse 19, that which was sown in the heart. In the heart. I want you to listen to a definition. This is just from Strong's Concordance, the definition that he gives of heart. Heart denotes the center of all physical and spiritual life. Sounds pretty deep, doesn't it? It is. It's rather complex. It's the center and seat of spiritual life. It's the vigor and sense of physical life. Pertaining to the spiritual life, it's the soul or mind, as it is the fountain and seed of our thoughts, our passions, our desires, our appetites, our affections, our purposes, our endeavors. Of the understanding, the faculty, the seat of the intelligence, of the will and the character of the soul, so far as it is affected and stirred in a bad way or good, or of the soul as the seat of the sensibilities, the affections, the emotions, the desires, the appetites, the passions. That's a rather lengthy definition, don't you think? But it's talking about the innermost person, the seat of all of our emotions and our passions. It's who we are inside. And that has to be prepared. That's the soil. And it has to be prepared to receive the gospel. That makes sense, doesn't it? Like the farmer has to prepare the soil for his seed, we have to have prepared soil to sow our seed. And we might be used in the process even of preparing the soil. Now, there are four types here. Did you catch that? Four types of soil. Three of them represent people who heard the gospel but didn't get saved. The last one's good soil. They got saved and they bore fruit. We don't want to make more of it. It's a parable. Every little aspect doesn't fit the realities of the spiritual life and sowing the seeds. Okay, so we don't want to look too closely and try to give every word and every phrase some parallel in truth. It's to make a point. It's about the soils. They're very close. They're all lost. The seed falls. It starts to work. It starts to make them think. It starts to germinate, and then all is lost in three of those different types of soil. So there are some similarities here. There are some things that seem to sort of overlap one another. And so we'll accept that. But we're not looking for the similarities. We're looking for the differences. There are three differences in hearts. And we need to know that. We also need to know how to recognize the difference, because that will tell us how to proceed. I don't know if you've recognized in your own trying to share Christ, you don't talk to everybody the same. You can't talk to everybody the same. You have to sort of perceive where they are. If you're talking to, years ago I had a guy working on an air compressor in my garage, and he was a Hell's Angel. And I thought, wow, the Lord sort of said, talk to him. And I did. I had the greatest time talking to this motorcycle, you know, Hell's Angel. He had a business on the side. He worked on air compressors. He was one of the easiest people to talk to I ever met. Some of the hardest people are the ones who go to church and aren't saved. They know enough to think they know enough, and they're hard to talk to. But you have to sort of, Paul said, be all things to all men. You're talking to an old hippie, then I don't mean you have to wallow in the dirt or anything, but you have to communicate in a way that they'll hear you. And you communicate in such a way as to deal with the type of heart that you're dealing with. And you can probably recognize that with the Spirit's help pretty quickly. It's not judging their heart. It's just sort of recognizing some obvious things about them. And so I want to talk about the four soils tonight and see if we can kind of look at the differences, not the similarities so much, but the differences as we go forth. In verses 4 and 19, you have the parable and then you have the interpretation of it, the wayside soil, the unprepared soil. It says in verse 4, "And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." In your garden at the end, I can remember as a young guy, we plowed with a little tractor and we tilled with a rotor tiller. And I can remember plowing, and when you come toward the end of the row, you lift the plow, and it kind of comes out slowly out of the ground. But when you get through, it looks like you have about 3 or 4 feet more of a garden space than you really intended, but it's not really prepared. It's very shallow there. It's not prepared soil because the plow was coming up out of the ground at that point. Generally, it doesn't get a lot, if any, fertilizer. And the seeds that fall there, since the ground's not prepared to receive the seed, it can be scratched out by the birds and devoured. That's the parable. That's what Jesus said about farming. Verse 19, he gives the interpretation. How's that like the soil of anyone's heart? It's a picture of the heart that the Lord Jesus referred to as a wayside soil. Here it is in verse 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." So you see, it's God's parallel. It's not mine, okay? He says there's such a thing as a wayside heart, a heart that's unprepared. Why would it be unprepared? Now you just have to think about this. What prepares a heart for salvation? Can you say something? I should say, who prepares the heart for salvation? Who? The Spirit of God. Maybe the Spirit of God has not had free course in that life because they've never given it any thought. It's just sort of their beginning of time. So their heart is sort of not broken. It's not. It's shallow. It's not plowed by the Holy Spirit. The fertilizer in the heart, what would you call that? What's a possibility? The Word of God, perhaps. Fertilized with the Word of God. They've heard enough truth and it sort of pricks their conscience. It sort of makes them interested. It's the Spirit of God working when that happens. He's working and He's drawing them to Himself. But what if we plant the seed? What if you go ahead and drop the gospel seed in that heart? I'm not saying we shouldn't. You know, it's an opportunity. Drop the seed. But what's going to happen in the unprepared heart? The recipients don't understand. They don't understand it at all. So I took algebra 2 years. Algebra 1, I took 2 years. I took it in, I think it was the 7th grade, and then I took it again in the 8th grade. The 7th grade was kind of early. I was kind of jumping ahead just a little bit. I thought I can handle this, and I did it, and I think I made a D. It was terrible, but I didn't know algebra at the end. The next year, I took it again, and I breezed through it. It was really easy. What was wrong the first year? Same me. I just wasn't ready. My mind wasn't ready. I needed to be sort of anointed a little bit so I could grasp the algebra class. People with unprepared hearts aren't ready. They're not ready to respond. It doesn't mean don't drop the seed. It might be used of the Lord to help prepare the heart for the next person who drops a seed. But they won't believe. They won't understand it to believe. There's no response at all. Satan will be standing by ready. As soon as they hear the gospel, what do the birds do with the seeds? They pick them up and eat them. They consume them. Satan is compared to the birds in the parable. Satan's ready. He's looking. Somebody heard the gospel. He'll give them all kinds of reasons not to believe it. That's why you need to pray tomorrow night for my Bible study, right? Because they're going to hear the gospel. The seed's going to be dropped. I don't know about their hearts just yet. But wouldn't it be great if it took root and it bore fruit? That would be tremendous. And I'm praying to that end. And God can work that way. It's amazing to me what God's doing right now. Isn't it to you? God is good. all sorts of opportunities to share the gospel, and I praise the Lord for that. Satan will do the work of the birds. He'll take away the seed, though, if he can, with his lies, with his deception. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is an angel, appears as an angel of light. He's transformed. He's the devil, the ugly devil, but he's transformed into an angel of light. He appears as a preacher in a pulpit across America, or an evangelist, or an author of a book, or just a friendly guy who wants to talk to you about your soul with a lot of lies and false doctrines. He does good. He does what he does well. He's evil. He's good at being evil. Ugh, that sounds strange, doesn't it? He's a deceiver. So it's very important that we understand it's not that this individual can't hear what you're saying. It's that they refuse to hear the gospel. It's like the Pharisees, unprepared soil. They're religious people and still with an unprepared heart to receive. They were prepared for all sorts of other things. You might say, well, they seem more hard-hearted to me. Well, maybe so, but unprepared as well. Look at the next type of soil, stony soil, verses 5 and 6 and 20 and 21. It says in verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So this is like in your garden, just under the soil, just very shallow soil, and under that is ledge. It doesn't look so bad, but you can't do much with that, because there's rock right under the surface of the ground, a big flat rock, and the roots start. You drop the seed in that little bit of dirt that's there, and it germinates and it sends its roots down, but they can't go very far. The wind will come, the rains will come, it'll beat the young plant all the way out of the ground, and then the sun's up the next day and it just withers. It turns to nothing. Now the Lord said there's people's hearts like that. They're hard. They hear the gospel. Let's read it, verse 20, before I talk about it. It says, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, or at once, he receives it with joy, yet hath he not root in himself, and endureth for a while. He endures for a while, but when tribulation and persecution, when the rains come and the winds come, when they arise because of the word, by and by he's offended. So a heart can be hardened. It can be hardened. And it's, you know, in an emotional moment, they respond to it. But it doesn't last long. As soon as a little tribulation comes, they abandon their decision. What could make a heart hard? Hearts are hardened by many things. It may be some presupposed false truth. Somebody says, well, God doesn't care about me. A person that maintains that can have a really hard heart eventually. Or, I'll make it on my own. I can do this. Or, well, it hasn't been that bad, and I don't know that I need God. There are certain faults, certain ideas that a person can live with and sort of become hard-hearted. The testimony of a hypocrite. People say, I have heard it several times in my life, they say to me, well, if I know so-and-so and he goes to church, and if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. How sad. But they're hard-hearted because of some Christian's attitude or actions. Bitterness toward God. I lost my best friend to Lou Gehrig's disease several years ago. I also knew his sons. His oldest son and I were pretty close. And he came out of the hospital room. His dad just passed away, still laying there in the bed. And he came out and he hit the wall of the hospital. And he said, why did God take my dad? And he was obviously moved, but things happen in life, and death is one of those things, you know. And my friend Kenny accepted the Lord before he died, and I thought, well, if he hadn't had Lou Gehrig's disease, he probably never would have been saved, because he got humbled, and it was a tremendous experience to see him come to the Lord. What's the result of planting in a hard heart? What happens? The truth is joyfully received, the Lord said, but it's maybe in an emotional state. The invitation in a church where the people are swaying and the music's touching their heart and their heartstrings are pulled, or maybe it's just in a superficial way. They receive the truth gladly, and the commitment, though, is not real, because the hardness of their heart won't let it take root. It won't let it take root. And the trials come. The individual gets tired of prayer, gets tired of faith, and going to church, and the awkwardness that he feels, being dependent upon the Lord and talking about it. Maybe somebody makes fun of him. Oh, you're a Christian now, huh? And they make fun of him. Maybe somebody experiences a time in which God doesn't do what he or she thinks he ought to do. And because they're shallow in their faith, because the gospel has not really taken root there, the seed, the truth, is abandoned. They just give it up. Those individuals tried Jesus. And when somebody says, "I'll try Jesus," I say, "Don't bother. You don't need to try Jesus. You need to abandon yourself to Jesus. You need to put your total dependence and confidence in Jesus. You don't try Jesus, the Son of God. You believe on him." People who try Jesus are going to be disappointed, because they're hard-hearted and the seed never truly takes root. Now, there are a lot of similarities in the wayside soil and the stony soil. Same thing is the end result. Both seeds perish. Don't look at the similarities. Look at the difference. The wayside, unprepared. The Spirit of God's not worked there. There's no exposure to the Word of God, to the truth of God. And it's just unprepared. This individual may have had some of those things, but something happened in their life. You know, a church experience. How many times you met a Christian who had a church experience that just really turned them off to the gospel, and now they're agnostics? It happens. They're hard-hearted. Thirdly, it's the thorny soil, verses 7 and 22. Verse 7 says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." So it's in your garden. You don't have weeds in your garden, right? Oh boy, I can grow weeds. The weeds are there. They come up. They grow faster than the plants, don't they? That's unfortunate. Weeds just flourish. And they grow fast, and they'll get higher, and they'll shade the tender plant so that it doesn't get any sun, and it needs sun. They suck up all the water around it. The weeds come up around the plants. They smother them. And you can dig down into the weeds maybe and find that little plant. It's about 2 inches high, and it ought to be 2 feet high now. But it's just been smothered out. And this is a picture of the condition of a heart of an individual. What are the weeds? Look at verse 22. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world," that's the weeds, "the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So it's joyfully received again, but again, it's only superficial. It's maybe without repentance, maybe without understanding and acknowledging that sin destroys. There's nothing good to say about sin. Even the pleasure that it brings for a season is so short-lived, and it's so destructive in our lives. And so we don't need that. Joyfully received, but without repentance, with a superficial type of a response. The carnal or worldly heart is full of thorns, is full of these weeds. The cares of this age, what are they? The love for money, That's all around us, isn't it? Everybody wants more. Worldly or boyfriend or girlfriend, a relationship gone wrong, a car, a job, a hobby, a house, a habit, the loss of your health. You know, we're not going to live forever. We're going to hurt and things are going to happen, and it's just, that's part of it. Bad grades at school. It could be anything related to this life. The cares of this life, the things that we engage in, and there's so much, can choke out what God wants to do in our life, not only for the gospel seed, but for a Christian and the faith and walking in the light. There's also the deceitfulness of riches here. When Satan convinces a person that the world has more to offer than the Word. You know, that's not hard to do. Not in America. The world has more to offer than the Word. Satan can tell that lie over and over and over again, and people just fall for it. One is not deceived by riches in a moment. It's the giving in to a lust, one little thing at a time. What's the result of planting in a thorny heart and somebody that's just all wrapped up in the world? Well, the seeds of truth start to take root, as they did in the other two soils. The cares of the world, the riches, they take center stage in the mind, in the heart. You remember the heart? And the plant dies without ever being fruitful. Three kinds of hearts, three conditions of heart. If we can recognize that a person's all wrapped up in thorns, they're so wrapped up in the concerns of life, making a living, doing this and painting their house and fixing their car and painting at the camp, and you got all of these concerns, those individuals need to be approached a certain way. Maybe differently than somebody who's never really heard the truth and their soils, their heart's not ready because they don't know anything. So all of them are different. There's one last soil, the good soil, verses 8 and 23. Verse 8 says, "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. In your garden, you've prepared the soil. You tend to it, you protect it, you've fertilized it, and it seems ready to you, ready to produce. Plowed deep. The weeds are all out. You start with beautiful plant bed. And it's a picture of the condition of the heart that the Lord has prepared to receive the gospel seed. It's like that perfectly prepared garden spot, whether it be for flowers or for vegetables. The Lord interprets it for us in verse 23, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So this heart, it hears, it understands, and it bears fruit. The idea is the gospel takes root there and they're truly born again. This heart is not wayside soil, but it's plowed deep by the Holy Spirit. John 16:8 says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." You see, the Spirit of God is always at work. The people who we are interested in sharing the gospel with, and we start to pray for them, we can be absolutely 100% positive that he's going to work in their hearts. We're seeing that, aren't we? God's working in the hearts of the unsaved, and he brings them to himself. This heart is not wayside soil that's not been fertilized with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. They have to have the Word of God for that to take root. The heart is not shallow and hard because of presupposed false ideas that have been disproved already. Disproved how? Well, the scriptures, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So the Word of God is made that heart prepared. And the more Word of God we can give them, the more prepared they are. This heart is not shallow and hard because it refuses to be discouraged by the testimony of hypocrites. They're not going to be concerned about hypocrites. They know that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. No other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. This heart's not shallow and hard because there's bitterness toward God. It's kind of hard to refute, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This heart's not filled with the cares of this world to choke out the truth. There's nothing more important than the things of the Lord and discovering His truth. When a person is really ready to get saved, you would have to plead with them to wait a little while. They want it now. They want to be saved right now. I haven't seen that happen a whole lot, to be honest, in my ministry. I've heard about it a lot, but for whatever reason, people just don't seem anxious. You just sort of have to bring them along a little bit, and then they kind of spill over into the other side. Well, we'll have to content ourselves with that, but we need to continue to pray that God works on their heart. My point is, what makes the difference? It's the Word of God. The more truth they know, the more ready they'll be. If a person knows enough truth, they'll be afraid of God. They'll be afraid of condemnation. They'll be afraid of what sin is doing in their life. And they'll want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that God will bless them for that. So what would you say to an unsaved person? What kind of soil represents your heart? Now, they don't know this little parable, but that's sort of to learn whether it's unprepared or hard or the cares of the world, the thorny soil, or is it the good soil? A preacher, while preparing to preach, "Behold, now is the accepted time," 2 Corinthians 6:2. He fell asleep and he had a dream. In his dream, he went to hell and he was found there in a host of demons, and they were talking about how to defeat the gospel and gospel preaching up on earth. And one demon suggested, "Well, I'll tell them that the Bible is a fable." And all the other demons just sort of chuckled a little bit and said, "They'll never believe that." The other demon said, "Well, I'll go there and I'll tell them that there is no God in heaven." And they said, "That won't work. They'll never believe that either." A third demon said, "Well, I'll go and tell them there is a God in heaven. The Bible is His word. But I'll tell them there's no hurry. There's no hurry." If we could convince the unsaved that they're one breath away from eternal flames, Maybe it could make a difference. The demons, the devil is working really hard to convince them they have plenty of time. And you know what? We live like they have plenty of time sometimes, don't we? We're not anxious about it. An important decision. Well, somebody says, "Well, I need to talk to my wife about leaving the baby unattended in the grocery store." Don't turn your back even for a second. I remember saying that to my wife. I need to get a fire alarm this week, but there's always a but. There's a reason we don't do the things that we really, really ought to do. I should probably unload that gun that's in my closet because the kids are getting older now, but I guess I ought to listen to what Pastor Danny had to say. But these are critically important decisions. That is, if what Pastor Danny has to say comes from the Word of God, because that makes it what God has to say. We truly ought to hear. Unsaved people need to hear the word, and you and I need to tell them. We need to tend the garden of our own heart so that we'll bear much fruit. We need to plant the seed of the gospel in the hearts of others. It's important. We need to. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time to talk about the soils and the seed. And Lord, I want to be a sower, and I want to see fruit, Lord. I want us as a church to be sowers, and I want us to see fruit for our labors. And Lord, if not much fruit, we still want to be used of you, Lord, maybe to prepare the soil. Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Lord, maybe we'll be waterers. But I pray, Lord, that we would see some get saved. Please bless this message to our hearts. Lord, so many ways we could apply this and think about it. I pray that your will would be accomplished in every heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen.